And outside this vision of love that St. Paul reveals to us, love becomes distorted into a feeling, into something evoking positive emotions and pleasure. We see that all the time, you know, I love Coca-Cola, or I love going to this place. And when a human being cannot evoke these things, cannot give us positive emotions or pleasure, they cease to have function. Their lives lack meaning. And thus, if a preborn person is regarded as an inconvenience, meaning if this child cannot even at the beginning of its life function in accordance with the wishes of the mother, the father, or even the immediate family, if this child is perceived to negatively affect the functionality of these people, well, now I can't have a career, now I can't go to school, now I'm going to be weighed down by this, now we're going to have an embarrassment. Our reputation will diminish in some ways. Then abortion becomes the logical solution. And likewise, if due to old age or chronic illness or now an increasing list of symptoms, if one perceives their life to be without function, euthanasia becomes the logical solution. Now, we're just now in the beginning of this stage of legal euthanasia in the United States, but countries that have had it for over a decade, like Belgium and Holland, I mean, you hear reports of people who are depressed being euthanized now, who are saying, well, I don't want to live anymore, even though they're physically perfectly healthy. They're adding list and list and list. Nevertheless, as Christians, we find ourselves in opposition to this logic, to this wisdom of the world. Yet when we address these issues, we often come across as simply fighting modernity. We are accused of holding to old ways which are best consigned to a history book. However, if we wish to truly understand and articulate why the Church maintains her teaching on these issues, we cannot simply look to canons, patristic quotes, or even scripture verses in isolation. We must first understand and articulate the Church's vision of the human person. And of course, we look to the scriptures, we look to the Church Fathers, we look to the sacred canons, and to the liturgical texts for this vision. Moreover, these life-giving sources must penetrate beyond the intellect and direct us to the heavenly King who is the giver and sanctifier of life. Our Lord tells us that the summary of God's commandments is to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. And thus, without this love, without striving to live according to this love, without longing to acquire this love, we will never understand the sanctity of life, much less will we convey it to others, especially to those who oppose us, who are on the other side. So the first question is, and this is the second part, is what is a human being? What is man? If we wish to explore why human life is sacred, we must understand what a human being is. Now, I will say there are two visions of humanity that are prevalent in our contemporary world. There are probably others, but I would say these are the two most prevalent ones. The first vision is materialist. For the materialist, reality is only that which can be perceived with our senses, either now or through future potential discoveries. Therefore, a human being is simply a biological life, an animal, and an accident of evolution. Now, I will be very clear. Scientific discoveries about human beings are not problematic for us as Orthodox Christians. The problem lies in reducing our vision of the human person to only what has been discovered through the scientific method. When you say, well, that says it all, then you have a problem. And such a narrow vision is clearly atheistic. The second vision is Platonist. Platonist and Neoplatonist thought prevailed in the Hellenic and Hellenistic civilization prior to the rise of Christianity. On the one hand, it was part of what St. Justin Martyr calls the seed of the word, which prepared Roman civilization for their evangelization. However, many of the ancient heresies also found their root in Greek philosophy. And one of the central concepts of Platonic thought is dualism, which divides reality into spirit and matter. And furthermore, spirit is seen as good, matter is evil. They speak of this sort of world of ideal form, so that everything, that something that's more perfect or beautiful partakes of this form. In terms of the human person, the soul is good and the body is evil. That's the Platonic view. The body is viewed as the prison of the soul. And for this reason, you find in ancient Greece and in the Roman Empire extremes in moral behavior. Either extreme hedonism or extreme asceticism. And both parties justified their behavior on the ground that the body is wholly evil. So some would say, well, we can do whatever we want because the body's evil anyways. Doesn't matter. Others say, no, we can only eat beans and drink water because the body is evil. And sadly, this dualism still prevails. One of the central teachings in classical Protestantism, I'm talking about Luther and Calvin, is that when Adam and Eve sinned, their fall constituted a loss of both the original image and likeness with which they were created. And thus, we find this idea of the total depravity of man. Mankind can only do wickedness. Any goodness found in a person results from an irresistible grace that is divinely bestowed. And this line of thinking also revived the pagan concept of fate, that events, even our salvation or damnation, are predestined by God. Our salvation does not require our cooperation. Rather, God has chosen some for salvation and others for damnation. And you can see that a person raised with a classical Protestant understanding of the human person, either consciously or subconsciously, who then is educated in an environment dominated by atheistic materialism, will construct a very distorted vision of the human person. And then we have to ask ourselves, is it then any surprise that our contemporary society values wealth, power, and pleasure above all things? Furthermore, is it any surprise that we value human beings according to their perceived functionality? If our vision of humanity is thus distorted, certainly our ethics will also be distorted. And when this is the case, how can we relate to God, and how can we not have a distorted understanding of God if how we understand ourselves is so distorted? The Orthodox Christian vision of man begins with our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Nicene Creed, we confess that all things came into being, or if you can translate it as were made, through him. In the first chapter of Genesis, when God creates, the scripture says, he says, which symbolized God sending his word, who is Jesus Christ. God's creation is good, and when man is God is created, God says, let us make man according to our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of heaven, over the cattle, and over all the earth. So God made man according to the image of God. He made him male and female. He made them. And that's Genesis, the first chapter, verses 26 and 27. So in other words, through Jesus Christ, human beings are created according to God's image and likeness, and given dominion over the earth and the rest of creation. Now, what does it mean that we are created according to God's image and likeness? It is interesting that image in the Septuagint Greek translation of the Old Testament, which is what we use in the Orthodox Church, that word image is ikona, from which we derive the word icon. So we're created according to God's icon. Likeness in Greek is omoiosyn, which bears a similarity to a theological word we use all the time, homoousion, or we say homoousios in when we anglicize it. This is what we translate in the Creed and in various prayers as co-essential, consubstantial, one in essence. We say the Trinity, one in essence and undivided. The word in Greek is homoousios, or some form of that. So these two words, that the likeness is not the same as homoousios, but they are related. They are, you know, I'm not, you know, they're not exactly the same, but typically if words have similar roots, there's a relation between these words. St. Basil the Great, commenting on this, writes, "By our creation, we have the first," which he means the image. "By our free choice, we build the second," that is, the likeness. "And our initial structure co-originates and exists, our coming into being, according to the image of God. By free choice, we are conformed to that which is according to the likeness of God. He has made us with the power to become like God. And in giving us the power to become like God, let us be artisans of the likeness of God, so that the reward for the work would be ours. I have that which is according to the image of God in being a rational being, but I become according to the likeness in becoming Christian. How do we become according to the likeness? Through the Gospels. What is Christianity? Likeness to God as far as is possible for human nature. If you are shown to be a Christian, hasten to become like God. Put on Christ." That's taken from a publication by St. Vladimir Seminary Press called On the Human Condition. They've been publishing in the Popular Patristic series. They do these nice little works by fathers, and so these are collections of various homilies. And it's a very important, if you're interested in the sanctity of life, St. Basil the Great is very important to read. You know, he comments on the entire creation, the Hexameron, but On the Human Condition is a very important text to read and to know. "On the day that man is made, we also read God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good." That's Genesis 1:31. Now, King David, in contemplating God's creation of man, asks, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and hast set him over the works of thy hands." That's, now, of course, when I say the Psalms, I'm using the Septuagint numbering. So if you're not familiar with that, add one to my numbers. That's Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6.